Welcome to the Precision Associate Podcast.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Physician Associate Podcast. My name is James and today I am delighted to be joined by Tony Young, who has a multitude of hats and different titles. Welcome to the show, Tony.
Hi, thanks very much for asking me to join you.
Thank you for coming on. Do you want to introduce yourself and explain your roles?
So I'm still a practicing consultant surgeon in the NHS. I'm a urologist at Southend Hospital. I'm also an associate medical director in Mid and South Essex Hospitals Group. That's Broomfield, Basildon and Southend, where I'm responsible for innovation and kind of transformation of our services. I am a lapsed entrepreneur. I did 4 startups, raised 5 million. I'm also the chair and director of medical innovation and entrepreneurship in the health faculty and medical school at Anglia Ruskin University. And I'm the national clinical lead for innovation at NHS England. That's it. That's the job.
The main thing to talk about is this fantastic opportunity known as the NHS Clinical Entrepreneurs Scheme. And I thought it'd be really useful to get you on to explain what the scheme is and how physician associates might be able to play a part in that scheme.
Yeah, for sure. And I'd be delighted. I think we've got one physician associate that joined us a year or two ago. I think it was just pre the pandemic because I physically recall remembering meeting this person. And he was really good. I've always been quite impressed by physician associates, actually. I think they're quite driven people, generally. And all the ones I've met have been. So, yeah, so this all started. We're going into year 7 now. So I started at NHS England in 2014. And shortly after starting, a couple of junior doctors approached me and said, look, we've just raised £500,000 for our startup. And we're being told we can't be entrepreneurs and remain as frontline staff clinicians working in the NHS. So we've quit. And I went, what? Why have you quit? Well, we were told we couldn't do both. And we wanted to do it. We're passionate about doing our startup. So I said, well, let's see. Do you want to stay in the NHS? And they did. And they wanted to continue doing clinical services, but we weren't allowing them to do both things. And it seemed a shame that it had to be this kind of cliff edge. You either did one or the other, you couldn't do both. When you looked at it, if you wanted to be a leader in healthcare and a clinician, we'd let you do that. If you wanted to be a teacher in healthcare and a clinician, we'd let you do that. And if you wanted to be a researcher in healthcare, an academic and a clinician, we would let you do that. But if you wanted to be an entrepreneur, until 6 years ago, the system said, no, we don't support that. And that was an inequality, really. It was unfair and not right. And actually, we were losing a group of really bright, talented people who wanted to, you know, gain commercial skills, knowledge and experience to help transform the health service through business. The startups are changing our lives, you know, in so many different ways. But in healthcare, in the NHS, until 6 years ago, we weren't giving them any chance of doing that, really. So 6 years ago, we founded the NHS Clinical Entrepreneur Programme, which has gone on to become the world's largest entrepreneurial workforce development programme in healthcare. Now just under 900 frontline NHS staff, not just doctors, nurses, allied health practitioners, clinical scientists, pharmacists, dentists, physician associates, back of office support staff, paramedics, others have come through the program. And in year 7, we'll get to our 1,000th entrepreneur, which is quite exciting. And in that time, they've founded over 350 companies between them. They've raised over £500 million in funding to drive their ideas forward. They have impacted over 100 million patients and professionals that we can count through their innovations. And we've built over 5% of the UK life sciences industry from scratch in the first 5 to 6 years, which is impacting that many patients through startups is unprecedented. It's never been seen before. But all we did was back our most valuable asset, which is our workforce, and said, we want to support you. You know, so many people have dreams and aspirations to do something beyond their direct clinical impact. And that's why some people go into, isn't it, leadership and research and teaching. They want to have a wider impact. But actually, you can do that through a startup as well, because if you create a product or service that then goes on to be manufactured and scale and grows, you could be impacting people right around the world with the ideas and the improvement that you've come up with, whatever it is. And it turns out lots of people felt the same. And so the program was launched. It offers you a commercial coach and mentor, someone who can, because clinicians, we don't really know much about this world. So someone who can help take you through that journey. If you're in training, we can help negotiate less than full-time training if you wanted a day a week or maybe 3 or 6 months out, something like that. I can't guarantee that, but we can help negotiate with Health Education England to get you that. Although lots of people are in full-time employment and not in training anymore that come on the program too. We have a whole range of educational events where you'll learn everything you need to know, from lean startup to branding and marketing to raising funding to legal and regulatory, to selling into the NHS and the structure of it, to globalizing your business and expanding it, to leadership, to understanding yourself and growing as an individual who wants to develop in this way. So commercial coach and mentor, education, a whole range of networking events, industry days, connections to customers and funding. We don't pay you any money. They don't give me that kind of budget, but I know where lots of the money is accessible, whether that's public sector grants or the investors who are really interested in this sector and might be interested to invest in you. And we kind of, and a number of international events and things that we go to help you look at how you might set your business up abroad and what you might do. And, you know, the results have been quite astounding. As I say, you know, over 350 startups from the National Health Service. I mean, I did have a look. I haven't done it formally, I should say. It was just a quick look at the Ivy League universities. So the big five ones in the States in the same time. More healthcare companies spun out of the NHS Entrepreneur Program in that time that came out of the Ivy League added together. Now, I'd have to go back and validate that properly to check. There may be some more. But it just goes to show you what we can do, as we are the fifth largest employer on the planet with 1.4 million people now. And if we back our workforce, you know, to help not just identify the problem, but to give them that commercial skill, knowledge, and experience to help come up with the solution and then build, test, trial, and scale that solution, you know, then we've got a chance of transforming healthcare. You know, more of the same. I can't remember who said it, but if we always do what we always did, we'll always get what we always got. But it's true, isn't it? We need new thinking, new action. And physician associates are a great example of that, aren't they? New thinking and action, saying the old system says, no, it's just doctors, nurses, and dentists. We don't need anyone else. And that's not true at all. There's a whole range of professions that have come forward now. So I think physician associates are an innovation in themselves.
I was just thinking the same. I think being a PA is demonstrably quite innovative. Anyway, I think it attracts a certain type of person.
I agree. Doing that. I'd love if some of your podcast listeners wanted to apply to the program. That would be amazing. I'd love to have more efficient physician associates. That would be incredible.
We ought to mention that actually early, as the application deadline for this year's clinical entrepreneur scheme is rapidly drawing to a close already, isn't it? Where should people go to find out more about the scheme?
Okay, so if you look up nhscep.com, you will find it. It's hosted via Anglia Ruskin University, but the website contains all the information you need to know. It doesn't cost you anything to apply. It's not up at NHS England fund the program. And you meet the most amazing people on it, but it's just 30th of October, I think, is the deadline for applications. And there's not really a limit to the number I can put on the program. If you cross a threshold and you're excellent, you've got a great chance of getting on. And the key thing, I think, overall, is if you put patients at the heart of what you're doing in your application, you know, you're likely to stand a really, really good chance.
Brilliant. Thank you. And I'll leave links to the website that you've mentioned in the show notes so people can find how to get in touch there.
Great.
Do you remember what that first group of doctors were pitching, what their big idea was. And do you have examples of other companies and ideas that have spun out of this program that you can use to inspire us?
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, so many different things, and some from the first year of the program. Some have already gone on and exited. One of them from year one was one of the co-founders of Touch Surgery, which went on to become Digital Surgery, which was bought by Medtronic, which was, if you haven't looked at the Touch Surgery app, people can download it, all the steps of an operation on your iPad, so you could practice surgery literally before going into the operating room, going, how do I make this cut? What do I do? But not just operations in main theater under anesthetic, lots of other procedures. So an emergency tracheostomy, for example, or something else. And in the end, something like 3 million people, I think, had downloaded that app. And many of them were actually not surgeons, but allied health practitioners, particularly internationally. So that was a great startup from year one. Another one that I really like, who's gone on to do so well, a company called Timpa Health, as in your tympanic membrane. Krish Ramdu, his name is, and he has now developed the world's leading smartphone otoscope. So you don't use your own smartphone. You get one that comes with the piece of kit. He's got a contract in Boots, where it's now available in all Boots hearing centers in the United Kingdom, expanding into the United States and across there now. And I think it's now become the world's leading smartphone otoscope. And particularly its use, this case has been found in earwax removal. So instead of having to go to hospital operating microscope in an ENT department, now a healthcare assistant in a nursing or residential home can actually look in a person's ear, and earwax can be safely removed and without having to refer them to the GP or to a specialist center. So again, getting things out of hospitals, getting them into the community and closer to the patient. Another one I love is, MediShout, Ash Calria is your one-stop shop for reporting anything that goes wrong, whether it's a facilities help desk, IT, stock and ordering, all those kinds of things, and brought to one place. That's a really great platform. One that's so exciting, though, is Apian, APIAN.aero. People have a look at that, which is autonomous drone delivery in the NHS. So green battery powered drones with a flight radius of around 70 kilometers or so that they can deliver. And this was two medical students from the Royal London Hospital who won a UK Space Agency grant, came to see me. I connected them with a mentor, and they've all founded this company together, looking at how do we 5% of traffic on the road is due to the NHS. How do we get things off the road, get it into these electric vehicles, these drones, so we're transporting, whether it's pathology specimens or sterile supplies or other things, potentially organs for transplantation. It's been done in Canada now. But do that across the NHS. I think it would be, first of all, a very green thing and to do with helping us reach net zero. But also, environmentally, for reducing traffic and pollution on our roads, a really important thing, and highly cost effective. You know, at the moment, we can't get we have to keep lots of things in stock rooms for ordering different things. So hip replacements, you have to keep a certain array of those in your department. And that's because you can't get just-in-time logistics. So people delivering things within an hour of the operation, for example. But if you've got a regional hub and a fleet of green drones, you could absolutely do that.
Brilliant. Thank you, Tony. It sounds like a really exciting scheme and has obviously produced some amazing ideas and innovations for the NHS and for the healthcare sector. Is it something that you have to have the idea for first and then apply with that idea? Or can you apply just wanting to get involved?
That's a great question. And so it's a workforce development program. So we're actually appointing really great people to the program, not specific ideas, innovations, or businesses even to what we do. So we, on the application form, you'll see we ask you to talk about something you've done, and that can be an innovation or an idea that you've had. But equally, you could use an audit or research project that you've done and completed. Because what we want to do is look at how you respond as an individual to developing something or taking it forward. So, you know, what background market research would you do? How would you set out going to test and trial this? People who are entrepreneurial typically have spent quite a bit of time looking at these things, but it doesn't have to be the next SpaceX or Tesla, because I would say about a third of the people who apply to the program are intrapreneurs rather than entrepreneurs. So they think, well, could I learn commercial skills, knowledge, and experience to help me transform patient care as an intrapreneur? So I'll become a leader in the system and be able to prepare those business cases and get things taken up, rather than actually building a startup and raising external funding. And we've got social entrepreneurs and others too. But so it's not all about, I have to spin up, you know, spin out a big company. Actually, you don't have to. And increasingly, people who are entrepreneurs are applying to join the program, because there's just as much benefit from taking a commercial mindset to transforming the NHS generally, as there is for spinning out a company. So
what happens once you've put your application in? What's the next process?
Okay, so after the closing deadline, the applications are all, they go through a checking process. A number of people that don't fill a form in properly, each year it makes me so sad that people have missed something or left it out. And there's the thing people get most worried about is the 1 minute elevator video pitch, where we get people to record it on their phones, and they just pitch to us. And people seem to be quite concerned about that. But actually, we really get to see who you are and how authentic you are and why you want to join the program. It's a really good a way of learning something about different individuals. So anyway, once they've been through that check, people then go through to a panel of three different individuals, each who assess your application individually. So one will be a commercial person, one will be a clinician relevant to your area, and one will be an NHS person more broadly, so who's used to NHS management or leadership, so they can understand how this product, process, service, or idea might move forward in the system. They each score. Those scores are unified, and you either get a green light, you're go straight through, an amber light, you're in kind of this middle zone, or a kind of a red light, and you haven't, for whatever reason, scored highly, and for a variety of reasons there could be for that. And then there's a review panel, which I chair. So, and I get to look at every single application that is either people have suggested isn't going to make it this time, or more importantly, is stuck in the amber group, where people are saying, well, one assessor said this and put them through, another one has said no. And so there's a little review panel, which I chair, that kind of look through those applications and say, well, let's have a look at this again. What do we think? And then we make a call on whether or not they should be offered a place on the program. I must say I'm quite a soft touch and a good cop. If we wouldn't put people through who would feel overwhelmed. And the program, if you're not used to this environment and haven't even started looking at it, some people can find it slightly overwhelming. So it goes through that process. And then I think it's going to be late December, early January time. The results come out, and the new year of the pro, we have an end of year event, beginning of year event in February, March time. And then the new round of the program starts with our first, we call them pit stops, our educational and networking events will start in mid to late March. And then we go through the year again, and the circuit goes round of the next years. But we don't, once you're on the program, you tend to stay with us for good. So people, because starting a business and getting it to grow can take several years. So in year one, people need often quite a lot of support, but very early stage support quite commonly. But as their company grows and they raise money, they need different kinds of support. More frequently, it's about connections into funders or into testing and trialing into academic units or into part of the NHS that might be a customer. So people tend to stay with us over the years. We've got a big family, I would say, 900 of them now.
And it's that wonderful expression that I've heard used from entrepreneurs who've been on the scheme about finding their tribe, finding people who are like them and just clicking.
It's really interesting when you go to one of the events, because being an entrepreneur can be quite a lonely road to travel. There's not a lot of people on it, and it's really tough. And then trying to do that in the National Health Service can be even more isolating. And you come to one of our events, and the room's full of people just like you. They're different shapes and sizes and backgrounds and professions. That doesn't matter. Their core characteristics, they're all driven. There's not one of them who's kind of run-of-the-mill, average kind of. They're all just wonderful, creative, different kind of people. And they achieve some quite remarkable things that you would... you would hope an organization would back its workforce to identify problems and then help find the solutions. But in fact, not many do. And the NHS has stepped forward this. And this is it's not for everyone. And quite frankly, if, you know, a large part of the NHS workforce decided to become entrepreneurs, the system would collapse because no one would be doing any work. They'd all be building their startups. But less than 1% of people in the NHS are entrepreneurial, really, in my experience. But we do need them, and they form a really important part of our ecosystem and culture. And they're changing the way we deliver healthcare. So many of them now have built businesses that offer services to the National Health Service and are transforming patient care. So they're quite inspiring, actually, all of them. So we've got people who... do recruitment into medical school and widening participation into careers, something called Generation Medics. And they go into schools that have no one has ever gone to work in the NHS from that school. And they'll speak about there are over 300 different career types you can have in the National Health Service. People think you have to be a doctor. And I said, no, it's not. And it's not just the clinical facing ones. There are all sorts of support services as well that go on in the system. And actually widening that participation in healthcare, we know, helps improve your life chances and outcomes. Because if you've got a network involved in healthcare and education in healthcare in some way, then you kind of got a reference point when, I don't know, someone's not well in your family, or how you connect them into the system and how you seek advice. So actually, there are many benefits for working in the NHS. And a great startup that promotes widening access is a really important thing. But that's just one example. We've got hundreds.
Brilliant. Thank you, Tony. I guess my last question is, what should people know going in with their eyes wide open in terms of time commitments and what they're signing up to?
So it's a part-time program. We have about 8 to 10 educational days across the year, some of them in the middle of the week, and some of them we run on a Friday evening and then an all-day Saturday. And we tend to split it. So people with families who need to be at home at the weekends, that's fine. They can come in the week time. And those who actually, weeks can be very demanding for them clinically, they can come at the weekend. But it's all blended learning. So it's broadcast live so people can join those events and also watch it later. There's a little catch-up channel we have where people can see what's been going on. But there's no replacement for attending the live events, because you get to meet your peers and your counterparts and be inspired by them and learn from them. You know, where's a good place to test and trial this? Who's funding this kind of thing? Well, what options are there? Are there any great mentors that might be able to help me with this? And that knowledge is often shared peer-to-peer. So to be there in person, really powerful thing. Part-time, just a few days across the year. And then what you do is, once you've learned something from the program, you go and test it back in your, you know, in the NHS, in your role. And so we call that customer validation cycle. So you talk to people, talk to patients, talk to your colleagues, see, does this idea really work? Have I uncovered something here? Or do I need to just change it and alter it and try something else? Because customer validation cycles are one of the most important things you learn. Otherwise, you're creating something that you don't know anyone wants it. And a number of people do that each year. And I said, well, who wants this? And said, well, I do. And I said, well, yeah, but I've never met anyone else who does. So fall in love with the problem, not with the solution. Too many people fall in love with their solutions. That's not the way. Find a real difficult challenge, a real difficult problem, and see what you can do to solve that. And then you won't go far wrong, in my experience.
Brilliant. Thank you. I think it's really exciting, and I think it's a really brilliant opportunity that hopefully some physician associates will take up. I know the deadline is fast approaching, so if you're listening to this on the day of release, it's just about 2 weeks, the end of October, to get yourself an application form in. And can you just remind us where to go if they want to find out more about the program?
Yep. If you look at NHSCEP, clinicalentrepreneurprogram.com, you will find that it's hosted by Anglia Ruskin University. And it would be really wonderful to get some more physician associates applying to join us. You don't have to launch a great startup. You can just want to gain commercial skills, knowledge and experience to transform patient care in the NHS. And you stand a really great chance.
And it could be a qualified PA. It could be a PA student. It's open to everyone.
Absolutely. We've had nursing and medical students apply and get on the program. And we've had senior consultants. The age is not a barrier to being entrepreneurial.
Brilliant. The call is out there. Please, if you're listening to this, tell anybody who you think might be interested, you think would enjoy doing this program. Tony, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for asking me to join you. It's such a great opportunity. For those who come on the program, it's just transformative. You look at things in a different way afterwards. If you're creative and innovative, it can just unlock that potential.
Thank you so much. And thanks to you for listening as well. I hope you found that a really inspiring and interesting episode of the podcast. And if you're thinking of putting an application in soon, I wish you all the best of luck. I'll leave the details of the NHS CEP on the show notes, so you'll be able to find it just by looking on your device. And I hope you'll join me again for the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Physician Associate Podcast.